I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And this is Cooking with Fire. This is the first episode in a new seasonal series produced in conjunction with KMUW.
Before we get into our first episode, here's a little overview of what you can expect from this podcast. We're going to be taking you on a journey through six regions,
both American and international.
And we'll explore how the people in these places use fire and smoke in their culinary traditions.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
Since this is the first episode, we've decided to start closer to home in Kansas City. Kansas City is considered a barbecue mecca for many reasons, and we're going to explore the region's barbecue history.
With a particular focus on brisket burn-ins.
Burn-ins originated in Kansas City, and lately, as barbecue has seen a renaissance, they have started to spread out from Kansas City and are becoming a regular item on menus and restaurants around the country. Though in our opinion, not enough people are making them.
Hopefully, we can change that. Later on in the podcast, I'll be giving you a recipe for burn-ins, and all of the ingredients you'll need are listed on the KMUW website as well.
It really is a great recipe and far more simple than most people think they're going to be.
When done right, they're a life-changing food. I remember the first time I ever had proper burn-ins. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. The texture, the flavor, everything about it made me rethink what I knew about brisket. I can't wait for everyone to try this recipe.
But first, the story of Henry Perry. The story of Kansas City barbecue in general, and burn-ins in particular, cannot be told without talking about Henry Perry. Perry was born in Shelby County, Tennessee in 1875 and grew up working on the Mississippi River in the kitchens of various steamboat restaurants. He moved to Kansas City in 1907 and started serving barbecue out of an alley cart in the Garment District in 1908. Perry's barbecue was no doubt influenced by the South, and his sauce was said to be harsh and peppery, which is more in line with traditional Memphis and Carolina-style barbecue. But his time in Kansas City would create the basis for the style the region is now known for. Perry moved his restaurant several times before settling at 19th and Highland in the famous 18th and Vine neighborhood in the 1920s and 1930s. For jazz fans, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of 18th Street and Vine is the music of Charlie Parker, and this neighborhood was the breeding ground for a new era of jazz music. Though a lesser-known figure, Henry Perry was laying the groundwork for a new form of barbecue at the same time and place. The story is that Perry's meat slicer would take orders for sandwiches, taking slices from the brisket flat.
For those who don't know, the brisket is broken down into two muscles, known as the flat and the point. The flat is where we get slices for sandwiches, and the point is the fatty portion of the meat that sits on top of the muscle. This is where Texas pitmasters get the menu names of lean and fatty brisket from. It's the two cuts that make up the brisket.
Knowing these two cuts of brisket will be helpful in just a bit, because it's where the burn-ins go from rarity to full-fledged menu item. So Henry Perry's meat slicer, as he was taking orders and before he would start slicing the brisket, he would cut off the first inch or two of the brisket as it would thin out at one end. These burnt ends would be moved to the end of the cutting board and would pile up as he sliced meat. He would cube up the meat, and hungry patrons waiting to grab a sandwich would reach over and grab a burnt end while standing in line. These burn-ins became so popular with guests that they demanded they be added to the menu. The problem is that there's only one tapered end of a brisket. All that's going to yield is 3 to 6 burn-ins, not nearly enough to make them a standard menu item. Now, we don't know if this story is totally true or an apocryphal origin for this favorite dish, but what we do know is that Perry is the undisputed grandfather of Kansas City barbecue.
When you think of classic Kansas City barbecue restaurants, two names come up: Arthur Bryant's and Gates. And we have Perry to thank for these restaurants.
In 1940, when Henry Perry passed away at the age of 65, Charlie Bryant took over his barbecue business. In 1946, the business was sold to his brother Arthur, and the restaurant was renamed and moved to 1727 Brooklyn. During that same time, former Perry pitmaster Arthur Pinkard was helping George Gates start Gates & Sons Barbecue. So we're talking about the two most important restaurants in Kansas City barbecue history, and both of them come directly from Henry Perry.
To me, this is one of the main reasons that Kansas City barbecue is just so great. The history starts with a man from outside of Memphis who brings the Southern tradition north, and then morphs into something completely different when Arthur Bryant does something that most people wouldn't think about as being particularly important. He changes Perry's sauce recipe. If you remember, we said his sauce was harsh and peppery. He instead developed a recipe that was tomato-based with vinegar instead of purely vinegar-based. It still has a tang, but it softens the flavor of the sauce, which in our opinion allows the meat to shine, especially burn-ins.
Remember earlier that I had noted that knowing that there are two muscles in a brisket is important? Well, Arthur Bryant's restaurant saw the popularity of the burnt ends that were placed out as late as the 1970s, nearly 50 years after the trend of beef ends being left on the cutting board had started. This is the point in time when burnt ends started showing up in Kansas City restaurants, because pitmasters started to remove the point from the flat and were using the point meat to make enough burnt ends to serve as a menu item. This is a great time to get into the recipe. I'll let Chef Tom get started.
All right, so we're out here on our patio, outside of our teaching kitchen. We've already prepared our brisket. We've seasoned it with the rub, and we're getting ready to put it on our smoker at 250 degrees. At this point, we're just gonna let it sit in the smoke for probably 3 or 4 hours before you even take a look at it.
This is a really important part of the smoking process. We're going to place meat on the smoker and we're gonna let it sit untouched. Don't look at it, don't disturb it for some amount of time. Why do we do that?
Well, the reason we wanna leave it alone is because in that pit, we've created a really nice environment that's full of moisture, it's full of smoke, it's going to allow that flavor to develop. Anytime that we open the door on the pit, we let all of that heat, all of that smoke, all of that moisture out of there, and it's got to build that environment again.
So one of the big takeaways for those of you listening is the old cliche, if you're looking, you aren't cooking, is actually pretty true. You don't want to disturb the meat. You don't want to disturb the environment. You want to let your smoker, your grill do its thing. You'll end up with a far better piece of meat in the end.
Now, where we are in the cook is we're looking for when it's the right time to wrap, because this has been smoking open for a period of time, but we want to finish it in foil so it really retains a lot of moisture. And before we get there, we need to achieve a certain color. So what we're looking for is a rich mahogany color on the outside of the brisket.
One thing to note with Kansas City barbecue is we tend to wrap in foil instead of leaving it unwrapped or wrapping in something like butcher paper.
Yeah, obviously there's different ways for you to cook a brisket, and you have different options, whether you want to wrap or not wrap or what you want to use to wrap. What it really comes down to is where do you want the flavor profile to be? Do you want a smokier cut of meat? Because then you'll just leave it unwrapped the whole time. But then you take your chances with maybe a little bit drier product in the end. When you use butcher paper to wrap the brisket, you kind of get a balance of smoke and beefiness. Whereas with foil, it really maximizes the beefy flavor and the amount of moisture retained. So now that we've reached that color that we're shooting for, we're going to go grab some foil and wrap this up. All right, so we're simply going to remove the point meat from the cooker, place it here on our sheet of foil, and wrap it up. And we're gonna wrap it nice and tight. And the reason we wrap it so tight is because we formed a nice bark on the outside and we wanna keep that. If we leave any room in there for air, it's going to steam the bark off. All right, now back on the cooker.
So one of the big questions we always get at this point in a cook is how much longer are they going to cook the meat?
And our answer is always the same, until it's done.
Now that may seem kind of rude and it may seem like we're not giving you an answer, but the reason we say that is because there is no proper time to cook anything. You cook the meat until it's finished, especially with brisket. Brisket is a meat that doesn't just finish at 200 or 205 or 210 degrees. I've seen them finish anywhere between 195 and 220. They need that time. They need the time to break down all that connective tissue. This is a piece of meat that is not going to yield just based on the time that you want it to. Always allow for some extra time for it to break down. Always allow for it to take a little longer. You can always hot hold something in an oven or in a cooler. You're really finishing to feel.
When we talk about the feel of the brisket, what we're really talking about is how it responds when it's probed. My favorite way to check for doneness is with an instant read thermometer. And that's for a couple reasons. One, because it does give me an idea temperature-wise of where we're at, but it also allows me to feel what sort of resistance the meat is giving up. If the probe moves through the meat, like a knife would move through room temperature butter, I know it's right about at the right spot. You want very little resistance in the meat.
Now our point meat's been sitting in the cooker for about an hour wrapped up in foil, and it's probing really tender. We're at about 205 to 210 degrees internal temperature. So we're gonna pull it out of there, take it inside and rest it for a bit before we cube it up and sauce it. All right, now that the meat's rested for about half an hour, we're gonna open up the foil and place it on the cutting board. And what we wanna do is cut roughly 1-inch strips and then those 1-inch strips into 1-inch cubes. All right, and now the final step of making our burnt ends is to return these cubes back to the foil that we just took them out of. We'll cover them with some sauce, and you probably won't need all that sauce that you made. You can save some of that for next time. And then we'll just give these a toss. So now all of our burnt end cubes are coated in barbecue sauce. We're not gonna completely close this back up. We'll just sort of form the foil around our burnt ends, and we're gonna take them back out to the cooker so that this sauce can get really nice and tacky on the outside. Now our sauced burnt ends have been on the grill for about 20 minutes. And taking a look at them, you can see that the sauce is really tacked up to the meat. You can tell simply in appearance that it's much more sticky, that sauce is really attached to the meat. And that's what we mean when we say that we want the sauce to set up. And this is the finish line. This is the end product. This is Kansas City burnt ends. And this is one of the most wonderful things in all of barbecue.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening.
Hope you enjoy your burn-ins. And for the full recipe, you can head over to kmuw.org.
Join us next time on Cooking with Fire as Chef Tom and I tackle the foods of Italy.